L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Which players have sneaky upside this season? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley. Joining me today is Debro and Andrew Erickson, both of Fantasy Pros. Guys, very exciting to be back on a show with you two. And Debro, what was it like watching football again last night? This is the day after the Hall of Fame game. Football is back in our lives.
Well, I would like to say I wish my preseason and props went a little bit better, but, you know, thank you, Jake Luton. But besides that, it was great watching football again last night. And I get it. Everybody wants to say that this is not real football. It looked real to me, people. I mean, Josh Jacobs got a lot of work, so we're not going to say that's real.
Erickson, football is back in our lives. Do you feel like, is there some sort of milestone here? We are that much closer to the season returning.
I mean, the juices are flowing right now. I'm waking up doing these mock drafts every single day with the Discord users because they will not stop attacking me with the invites of the mock drafts. Like, guys, like, I do actually have to get some work done, but then we'll do the mock drafts. So those are just going to keep continuing, and people got to hop in, get your mocks in, and get ready because the season is going to be here before you know it.
Erickson and Debro are definitely on Discord every single day answering questions right and left. We'll have some mailbag questions later on in the show as well today. As always, I want to make sure the listeners can find the three of us online. Erickson's Twitter handle is at @AndrewErickson_. Debro is at @Debro_FFB. And I can be found at Ryan Wormley. No underscore for me. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. I also want to mention an awesome prize Fantasy Pros is giving away to the listeners right now. We've got a free signed Davante Adams jersey over at fantasypros.com/contest right now. All our listeners have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, take a screenshot and submit it at fantasypros.com/contest to have a chance to win. And I also have to mention probably my single favorite tool Fantasy Pros offers this time of year, which is the Draft Assistant. With draft season now here, it's time to take advantage of our Draft Assistant with Sync. The Draft Assistant with Sync provides advice and pick selections for your live online drafts in real time. It works with all the most popular league sites like Yahoo, ESPN, Sleeper, CBS Sports, NFL.com, and more. Plus, it's got the same interface as the Draft Simulator, so it has that familiar look, you know. It's very easy to use. Only MVP and Hall of Fame level subscribers can access it, so please subscribe today if you haven't already, and check out our Draft Assistant with Sync at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. And since only premium subscribers can get the most out of our Draft Assistant, if you're not currently a subscriber, then we're offering you an amazing deal right now that gets you premium for 6 months without paying us a dime. You can check out that deal at fantasypros.com/offers.
Here's the league's latest news.
Guys, before we jump into the meat of the show today, let's go over a couple of news and notes of some things going around the league. We are at that time of year now with training camp going on where there are little nuggets coming out with fantasy-relevant stuff every day. The big one today, Chris Godwin returns to practice. He's got a brace on his right knee as he attempts to return from a torn ACL. Do we want to consider bumping him up in the rankings at all? He's currently wide receiver 28 in half PPR. Debro has him 30th as of the most recent update. Erickson has him down at 39th. So Erickson, I'll start with you. Are we moving him up at all?
I think you got to move him up with the positive camp reports. I just think that, you know, he's beating expectations and he's on the field. It's not just we're getting reports that saying that they're hopeful he's going to play. Now, there have been some things that have regard to that specifically where they're still not necessarily sure he's going to be ready for week one. I still don't think he's going to play like in week one, but is he going to play week two, like week three? Like those seem like they're very realistic or becoming more realistic. And I think that like worst case scenario, you're probably looking at October, like is when he probably plays. But as long as things keep coming out like this, it's like, you know, try to scoop up that discount now.
So right now you technically have him as a wide receiver 4. Is it fair to assume you're at least moving him into wide receiver 3 range?
Yes.
Debro, what about you? You've got a mid wide receiver 3 right now.
Well, I had him down where Erickson has him. I had him at wide receiver 40 previously. I updated my ranks last night and this morning, and I bumped him into wide receiver 3 range. I mean, he's around that tier of like those upside, like rookie second year wide receivers that I'm going to target. I'll lump Godwin in there, but I mean, I can't push him any higher than what I've already got him at right now, only because there's still so many wide receivers that I feel like either it's health, offensive situation, and I agree with Erickson here about even if we see Godwin on the field in September, October, I mean, that doesn't make him, one, 100% effective or a full snap player. So wide receiver 3 is about where he's probably going to live at the moment in my ranks.
The other news update from this week, not quite as positive. Matthew Stafford is dealing with an injury to his throwing elbow, one that's often found in baseball players, actually. Now, the Rams never play their starters in preseason games anyway, so it's not like we're going to miss him when the games start coming in August, but they will have to manage his workload throughout practices and everything this month, potentially into the regular season as well. There's still a lot we don't know about what this issue, I won't even say injury, I guess, but issue with his throwing elbow looks like. How much does this concern you when ranking Stafford and when ranking the Rams receivers? If you were to miss time, it would be John Wolford who's next in line to start. Debro, how are you feeling about the Rams offense as a whole right now?
I'm leery. I got to throw it out there. I'm leery. Like, I mean, Stafford, I'm not dropping him outside of the top 12 quarterbacks right now, but it definitely has perked my ears up. Like, I've already moved Justin Jefferson to wide receiver 1 overall. But even if you were splitting hairs and you were like, okay, is it Kupp? Is it Jefferson? I feel like this is enough to kind of move the needle for a lot of people, or it should be. I've got a lot of concerns. I mean, take the air out of the ball. If it's Wolford under center, I mean, you feel okay about the running game and stuff. But I mean, we know that. I mean, Kupp would take a hit. Allen Robinson would take a hit. The passing offense would take a hit. So I'm approaching with some trepidation. I'll put it that way.
Well, I was going to ask about the running game. If let's pretend for a second that Stafford were to miss time, and obviously, again, we don't know that that's the case, but let's pretend that were to happen, or that he was severely limited to the point that they don't throw as much. Would you feel like that's a bump to Cam Akers because he should get more volume, or a detriment to him because the offense just probably won't be as good and there'll be fewer scoring opportunities?
I think with those two different ideas, with the scoring opportunities going down, I think it's kind of a push. I think volume-wise, if he is who we think he is, and he's going to be McVay's workhorse, then it's probably more of a bump up, at least a mild one, than it is for a reason to lower him.
Erickson, what's your concern level with the Rams right now?
I think that it's just important to look at how the market looks at this. I really think that it's not necessarily what I think, but it's like, okay, is everybody freaking out about Matthew Stafford? You know, is everyone reacting, okay, we got to like Cooper Kupp's not a top 5 wide receiver anymore. And in those situations, I would look at it as an opportunity to buy. It's like, no, sure, like I'll take the discount. But if no one cares and it's like, nope, Cooper Kupp still goes in the first round, top 5 pick, like whatever, then I'm going to be more bearish about the Rams passing game, be more bearish about Allen Robinson because, you know, the raving reviews about Robinson at the camp, like that's kind of overshadowing, you know, the Matthew Stafford. Like, oh, well, he'll be fine. Like they're taking care of everything. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, didn't Dak have an injury that was like a baseball injury and then he overcompensated it with another thing? And it's not like Stafford has been a bill of health throughout his career. I mean, the dude has taken a lot of punishment in the NFL just from his very long career and also all of his seasons playing in Detroit. So I'm definitely going to be a little bit more bearish on this particular situation. And I mean, I don't have Cooper Kupp as my wide receiver 1, but it's just going to the fact, like, this is why regression happens. Like, it's not just because of a numbers, it's a numbers thing. Like, injuries are part of the whole process. It's hard to stay healthy year over year. So that, you know, Stafford missing games could just play into the inevitable regression that Cooper Kupp is going to face in 2022.
Remember, everyone, to stay on top of all the latest updates with the industry's fastest news desk, check out our Fantasy News and Scores app, available on both the App Store and Google Play. Fellas, let's jump into the heart of today's show. We're talking about sneaky upside players, and for this show, we're going to use our overall consensus half PPR ADP data, which listeners can find at fantasypros.com/rankings. We're going to be focusing on players currently outside the top 100 in that data, a few running backs and wide receivers each, plus some quarterbacks and tight ends at the end of the show. Guys, let's start with the running backs. Erickson, I'll start with you. Who's the first sneaky upside guy you're looking at?
Going with Sony Michel for the Miami Dolphins. So right now, he's RB57, 161st overall. I have him RB40, 99th overall. And he's the most experienced running back on the Dolphins. So he has twice as many starts as anybody else in that backfield, 35. And if you look at what he did over the last 6 weeks of the 2021 season, he was second in snaps, first in carries, third in rushing yards, third in broken tackles, and first in red zone carries. So, I mean, that's upside. Like, all of those things I just listed off are, if he carves out the goal line role, which Chase Edmonds has really never had at the NFL level, and this offense takes a step forward in the season with all the additions that they have made. I mean, Sony Michel, I mean, Raheem Mostert, he's dealt with a lot of injuries, and Edmonds has never really shown that he can be a full workhorse back, where Michel did last year. So I think there's a lot of upside with Michel.
Yeah, Michel, the type of guy that is you can basically get for free in drafts right now. And he's a good example of the concept of the floor is certainly there. We don't know what sort of role everybody in that Dolphins running game is going to have, but the upside is clearly present. Debra, who's your first running back?
Well, I like the Sony Michel call. I think that he is the Jeff Wilson of South Beach, so love that call. The first running back I got to talk about here, and he is a dog. I think that he could take over this backfield, is Damian Pierce. I'm in lineman consensus right now. He's ECR RB46, 126 overall. I have him as my RB46, 128. And I think it just has to be brought up. Yes, I understand that the Houston Texans are probably not going to be a good team. Damian Pierce, I think, first of all, the way that he can get onto the field early and carve out a role, because Marlon Mack's coming out today and talking about, oh, he's back to pre-Achilles form. We'll see. But Damian Pierce, I think, can be the passing down back in this offense from day one. This guy is a dog in pass protection. Absolute dog. I saw him at Senior Bowl. He was not going to lose any reps in one-on-ones. He runs routes with the best of them, and he's a versatile back. Like, in his collegiate career, 23.7% snap share in the slot or out wide. So you see the versatility. He's 15th in yards per route run last year. And if he can get on the field for passing downs, I think he can absolutely eat into the early down work for Marlon Mack. So I get the situation is gross around him, but I mean, come on, guys. He's sitting there like RB4 territory, middle rounds of drafts. If he does take over this backfield and he's getting checkdowns, he's getting targets, because Davis Mills isn't going to run. Like, that's not in Davis Mills' game. A lot of turtlenecks might be in the closet. But, you know, shorts and running gear, not there. So I like Damian Pierce where he's going.
Yeah, Pierce is a guy who has some of the reports early on in camp, again, have been that he is looking very much like a guy who could be the clear number one back in this offense as we get later into the season. To plug the website a bit, Erickson, you actually had an article that came out either today or maybe yesterday about targeting players on bad offenses and still finding success with that in fantasy. Is Pierce a good example of that for you?
I think that I'm more concerned about the role as a receiver. I know that they signed Rex Burkhead to, I mean, a pretty decent deal, and he's the highest paid player in the running backs behind Marlon Mack, and Damian Pierce was a fourth round pick. So traditionally, if you look at Nick Caserio coming from the Patriots, like, they don't play day three running backs a lot. Like, they just don't. Like, Ramondre Stevenson last year was like, that was abnormal for him to get that much playing time. Basically, if you're not a first-round pick, you don't really play as a running back. So I'm really more on a wait-and-see approach. I definitely understand the upside with Pierce, where I think he may have a bigger impact down the line. So he's someone, again, if people drop him, he doesn't do anything for the first couple of weeks, you want to scoop him up for free, because he could definitely have a bigger role down the stretch when you know, the team tries to look at some of these younger players. It's like, do we really need to keep playing Rex Burkhead? I think Burkhead's actually going to be the one that's most fantasy productive to start the year.
If you love drafting NFL best ball teams or are looking to find out what all the hype around the new format best ball is, you have to check out drafters.com. Best ball is a season-long fantasy football format where you simply draft your team and you're done for the season. No ads, drops, trades, or setting lineups. Your best performing players automatically count towards your score each week. With no extra time commitment, you can draft as many teams as you like. Drafters.com is hosting a $1 million prize pool contest called the Drafters Million, which is a $20 entry with a $250,000 prize to first place. If you use the promo code FANTASYPROS when making your first deposit, you'll get a free $20 ticket into the Drafters Million. 12-team snake drafts start as soon as they fill and are running all the time, so all you have to do is make an account and hop in some drafts. Drafters uses a super simple total points format, so the highest scoring team from weeks 1 to 17 wins the top prize of $250,000. The top 9,100 teams get paid, and right now there are only 9,500 entries in the contest, so definitely make sure to check it out. Again, use the promo code FANTASYPROS when you make your first deposit on drafters.com, and you'll get a free $20 ticket into the contest for a free shot at the $1 million prize pool. Erickson, sticking with you, who's your next running back?
Oh my God, I love this guy. Khalil Herbert, running back 60, 190th overall in my ranks, RB 47, 119th overall. David Montgomery has been demoted to special teams. No, okay, so he hasn't actually been demoted to special teams, but it's just kind of funny that, you know, he is taking reps on special teams. And something that I remember from Patriots training camp was Sony Michel was returning kicks, and then he got traded to the Los Angeles Rams. So just something to kind of just keep in mind. It's just kind of weird usage that, you know, they're having him return kicks and work on special teams, even though he's volunteered for the role. I just look at Herbert and, you know, the new coaching staff. They have no allegiance to David Montgomery to give him a full workload that he had last year. Like, that's really what you're attaching yourselves to, because this offense is not really exciting for the Bears. They have a lot of problems up at the offensive line, and you're just hoping Montgomery, okay, gets his 20 touches per game, used in the passing game, and he'll be fine. But I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. Like, Herbert was really effective last year. PFF's fourth highest graded rusher from weeks 5 through 8 when Montgomery was sidelined. He had 4 games with at least 72 rushing yards. Montgomery rushed for 72 rushing yards in 4 games as well last year, and he was the starting running back. So Herbert got it done on limited touches last year, and no one is looking at this backfield as, oh, it's like a split between Montgomery and Herbert. And I'm like, dude, like, Herbert is so good. This guy has so much juice to his game, more explosive, in my opinion, than David Montgomery. Honestly, I think that he's a better running back than David Montgomery. So Montgomery obviously has the pedigree and some draft capital behind him, but that was a former regime. So I think Montgomery is like a full fade for me in like rounds 4 and 5, not touching him. And I just draft Khalil Herbert and I'm like, hey, man, this guy's good. I'm going to bet on the talent, which is kind of the precipice of my article of targeting players on bad offenses. It's like, hey, just draft cheap talent. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, you move on. So I like Herbert for those reasons.
Herbert is another guy who has had some pretty nice early training camp reports in terms of usage and trying to see an uptick there this season. Last year, in games that Montgomery was healthy, Herbert did not have more than 4 carries in any game. So the volume discrepancy was very clearly in Montgomery's favor last year. Debro, you are actually 106 spots lower than Erickson on Khalil Herbert. Are you buying into him as a potential sneaky upside guy?
So I'm with Erickson that I don't think that David Montgomery is going to get this 80 to 90% opportunity share that he's gotten over the last 2 years. Totally in with that. Where I think our divide is, and this leads me to another Bears running back, is I think that this could be a 3-way split. If not, we could see Khalil Herbert as the early down backup to David Montgomery. The player that I love out of that backfield is Tristan Ebner. And so it's not so much that I'm low or I don't like Khalil Herbert. I view this backfield a little bit differently. I'm not in on David Montgomery. I think it's going to be a split, but I don't know if Herbert is going to have a standalone role. Whereas I think Ebner, who is basically the free version of Nyheim Hines, but he has every down size in drafts right now, that's the player that I like out of the backfield, because I think that he can garner the passing down work from week one and steal away those routes from Montgomery and even Herbert.
Debra, who's your next running back?
So we saw him in action briefly last night because Josh McDaniels apparently loves to play all of his starters in the backfield in the Hall of Fame game. Kenyon Drake is a player that I will continue to gobble up. I'm massively above ECR. They have him at RB62, 210th overall. I've got him all the way up at RB44, 125 overall. And it's because Kenyon Drake is a player that I think can have a standalone role. Doesn't show a lot of confidence in Josh Jacobs if they're giving him totes in a meaningless Hall of Fame game. And with Kenyon Drake, we've seen the prowess in the passing game. And that's really like these late round guys. Okay, can you eat into the early down work? Well, we've seen Kenyon Drake be an early down horse in previous seasons. But the pass game is where I think that he has a standalone role because Josh Jacobs, people need to let the narrative go about him coming out of Alabama and being a plus receiver. We've seen him enough seasons, people, to understand that he is not efficient in the passing game. And the Raiders do not want to use him in that role unless they absolutely have to. Kenyon Drake last year was the fourth highest graded PFF running back in the receiving game, sixth in yards per route run. He's the running back who is basically free in drafts right now. And if we're going to see a lot of routes out of this backfield, if it's not Brandon Bolden and Amir Abdullah, I think it's going to be Kenyon Drake.
5 carries for 9 yards in the Hall of Fame game, which is utterly meaningless, but it's just fun to get to reference actual stats from actual box scores once again. Now, this is another example of where there's a pretty big discrepancy here, so I want to pull Erickson in. Erickson is 173 spots lower on Kenyon Drake than Debro is in the rankings. It is by far the widest gap of any player we're going to be talking about today. So, Erickson, what are you not buying in on with Drake?
I just think that they're going to run Josh Jacobs into the ground. Like, that's, look, like, you can look at the preseason as, oh, they don't have any confidence in him, but Najee Harris started in the Hall of Fame game last year, and he got 350 touches because they're like, we're giving him the ball, and Josh Jacobs is a free agent. So I like kind of spinning it a little differently, the narrative around Josh Jacobs, because I think this is ultimately going to hurt his ADP, because people are always in the preseason, like, they don't care about him. It's like, yeah, because they're going to use him and work him into the ground. And if you look at McDaniels and you look at some of the pass backs he's had, like Garrett Blunt, Deion Lewis, all their best years came when they had expiring contracts. So it's just kind of something to keep in mind. Josh Jacobs falls. We see Antonio Gibson sometimes go in the 8th round because people just don't want him. And if Josh Jacobs continues to fall, like, this Raiders offense should be good. So for me, I don't know what Drake's role is going to be. Obviously, we saw Zamir White play a role here. And you know, you also have Brandon Bolden in the fold. So is it who's going to be the receiving back? You know, who are they going to use? And is it just so concentrated on the other pass catchers between Waller, Adams, and Hunter Renfrow that it's like, okay, how much are these running backs really eating into, you know, the target share in this offense? So I just find that there's other more upside backs to take shots on, besides Kenyon Drake. So I'm just not really interested.
Erickson, you mentioned the Raiders offense that you think will be good, and I think most people agree, but I think how good they are will go a long way in determining Drake's value and the value of guys like Jacobs as well. No explanation here, just give me a number. The Raiders offense will finish as what rank in the NFL this season?
8th.
Debra?
10th, 12th, somewhere in there.
Okay, so definitely an upper echelon offense we're expecting. Erickson, give me your final running back.
We go with Darrell Williams for the Arizona Cardinals. So he's ranked RB56, 160th overall. I have him at RB43, 102nd overall. And I'm just hoping and buying into him becoming the number two running back for the Cardinals. Now, he's in a battle for it. It's not necessarily his to, he's just walking in because Eno Benjamin has obviously been a guy that's already been there. So he's competing for the job. But just based on what I've seen in terms of production on the field, Darrell Williams showed out last year. 6 games as the clear-cut starter for the Chiefs. Averaged 19 fantasy points per game on 18.3 touches per game. You know, body of work. He's worked as a receiver. He's worked at the goal line. And 100 yards from scrimmage, scored 8 touchdowns, posted 0 fumbles on 191 touches. Like, he's way more proven than Eno Benjamin is. Like, in real NFL games for a playoff team in the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, the rhetoric was when they signed him, it was because of trust. You know, Cliff Kingsbury was talking about, we need a guy that Kyler Murray can trust in the backfield to pick up blitz packages and to be a receiver out of the backfield. I think Darrell Williams has a 3-down skill set. Now, like, he as a player, yeah, he was a former undrafted free agent. Like, he's not going to necessarily light up the world on fire, but if James Conner goes down, I really think that Darrell Williams will take on a bigger role, whereas I think, you know, Benjamin may have a bigger standalone role, kind of like what Chase Edmonds had last year in the case of, you know, working alongside James Conner. So it's a bet on, you know, James Conner not staying healthy. And I think that Darrell Williams would be the guy that would benefit the most from an injury because, you know, James Conner, he's been banged up. So I think Williams would be the guy that I would probably want. And he would be the guy I'd probably add off the waiver wire. You know, if he's a couple weeks into the year, James Conner gets banged up, going to miss a couple weeks, I'm going to be putting my fab bid on Darrell Williams.
And of course, we don't know who's going to be calling plays in Arizona. Is it Cliff Kingsbury? Is it Kyler Murray as Cliff tries to get him more involved in the offense? That's obviously a joke. You know, it's Cliff. Devereaux, give me your last running back.
So this is not just me diving into Twitter narratives, camp stuff, and things of that nature, but it does have to get brought up. Antonio Gibson putting the ball on the turf twice in camp today just leads me to a player that I was already going to discuss on today's show, Brian Robinson. I'm above consensus on him as well. RB 55, 157th overall. ECR has him at RB 63. I mean, look, I get that Brian Robinson is not immensely flashy. I understand that. But there are a lot of different things to like about Brian Robinson and his fit on this offense. He's an Antonio Gibson injury away, or hell, another fumble away from taking over the early down role. And you look at Brian Robinson and how the Washington Commanders are going to want to run this ground attack. Last year, they were 10th in inside zone rushing rate. And you look at Brian Robinson, while he might not be flashy and you don't want him in an outside zone scheme, he is really, really good in inside zone. He led this running back class with a 33% missed tackle rate forced last year, and he was 4th in explosive run rate on inside zone runs. So you marry all of that with Gibson cannot seem to hold onto the ball. This is not something new. Since 2020, he's tied with Ezekiel Elliott for the most fumbles amongst running backs in the NFL. So Washington wants a guy that's going to hold onto the back, the ball, and might not be flashy, but dependable. Yeah, Brian Robinson is going way, way too late, considering I know that people do not like all the stink around Washington, Carson Wentz, this offense, but Brian Robinson can gather a lot of volume and push Antonio Gibson to the side. I mean, that I don't think that's out of the range of outcomes here.
I don't know that I particularly like Robinson, but I've said for a while now that Gibson is like by far my easiest fade of anybody going in the early rounds. So I think any backup in Washington, when you're getting so much cheaper than a guy who I don't think is going to hold on to the starting job this year, much like he can't hold on to the football, I think that's definitely a good decision. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about SeatGeek. Have you been treating your butt well lately? Has it been going places? No? Then you've got to try SeatGeek. There's nothing I love more than going to sporting events live, and SeatGeek is my choice every time I need to buy tickets. I plan on going to somewhere between, 20 to 30 college basketball games this winter, and when I do, I'm turning to SeatGeek. SeatGeek is so beloved, it's been made the highest-rated ticketing app for all types of events, including concerts, festivals, sports, and more. I can't wait to check out the Maryland basketball team this season as they embark on the first season under new head coach Kevin Willard. And whatever event you're excited to see live, you can find the best tickets with SeatGeek, which rates every available ticket from 1 to 10 to make sure you're getting the best possible deal. You can get $20 off your first purchase with promo code FANTASYPROS at SeatGeek.com or on the SeatGeek app. That's promo code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. SeatGeek, get your butt in a seat. Download the app today. Erickson, who's your first wide receiver that has sneaky upside?
All right, so let me read off his stats first. So in 2020, he had 110 targets, 67 catches for 932 yards and 11 touchdowns. Last year, 110 targets, 62 catches, 885 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. So basically, his numbers were almost exactly the same, except for in the touchdown column. And therefore, his ADP has cratered from year to year. And I'm talking about Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool. Like, that's who I'm talking about. And there weren't a lot of touchdowns through the air to really be had last year in the offense with Big Ben. So you look at what Big Ben, he was holding back Chase Claypool. So for me, I'm looking at Claypool when you look at his expected fantasy points per game last year, it was actually better than his rookie season. And something I'm trying to learn about is not to necessarily fade a player after an electric rookie year. You know, Deebo Samuel, like, kind of disappointed his sophomore year. And if you fade Deebo Samuel, it's like, and then, well, we all knew he was still talented from what he did as a rookie. And Chase Claypool, I just don't think we should forget about what he did as a rookie. You know, scoring over 10 touchdowns is not an easy feat as a rookie wide receiver. And the fact that his expected fantasy points per game was better. You know, last year he caught one of just 12 end zone targets. Like, the guy just could not find the end zone last year just because of touchdown variance. So for me, you know, if it is Trubisky that ends up being the starter, whether it's Pickett, whether whoever it is, I am confident that, no, I don't think the offense is going to necessarily throw more, but I'm more confident that whoever the quarterback is will be able to deliver the ball downfield at a much better rate than Big Ben could do. Because that's just something that wasn't part of Big Ben's game anymore. He just couldn't do it anymore. So I'm not saying Trubisky or any of these other guys are, oh, they're like the, you know, Patrick Mahomes or even like a Tua Tagovailoa throwing the ball downfield. But I think that they can be better throwing the ball downfield. And I think that really matches what Chase Claypool can bring to the table as a big body wide receiver. And I just think his ADP has fallen too far for a guy that has double digit touchdown upside. He showed it to us.
So you don't think stylistically it matters if it's Pickett or Trubisky?
I mean, we don't know what Pickett is yet. It's like, can they both? I just know that they can probably both throw a better deep ball than Big Ben. Or Big Ben last year.
I think I could probably throw a better deep ball
than Big
Ben.
That's what I mean. It's not like I don't necessarily think either of them are world beaters of deep ball pass. I know Trubisky in 2018, you know, he was pretty up there in terms of like deep ball rate and deep ball completion percentage. But, you know, that was in 2018. I'm not necessarily going to be, I'm going to attach my wagon to Trubisky's deep ball. And deep ball stats can also are somewhat volatile from year to year, you know, if it's a small sample size. So I'm not going to harp on that, but just kind of like intuitively, like, look, we know that they're probably going to be able to throw the ball downfield more effectively. They can use play action, like just things that they never did in the previous versions of the Steelers offense.
Debro, I know from having played flag football with you at the company trip this year that you can throw a better deep ball than Big Ben. Are you in on Chase Claypool having a bounce back season? And bounce back, I sort of put in quotes.
Oh, yeah, baby. First of all, we got to give a little more credence to the arm. Erickson might have the speed, but I got the cannon, baby. Look, I'm in on Chase Claypool because all I want to see is his big slot season from Chase Claypool, and I think we're going to get that. So even if it's not the deep ball, I think it's easy completions. And I think it's really good point by Erickson, the fact that, yes, Ben Roethlisberger, like, you look at archetypes of wide receivers, if you're talking about the prowess to fit accurate passes into tight windows for receivers that are more like physical receivers, body types, like contested catch guys like Chase Claypool. If Ben is doing a terrible job at this, yeah, Chase Claypool is going to suffer more than somebody who's an easy separator like Deontay Johnson. So yeah, I mean, I'm in with it. Like I personally hope that Kenny Pickett wins this job because I think Trubisky is terrible. But questions on whether how much of an upgrade Pickett could be, but at least there's some promise. I've got no hope for Trubisky, but I still am in on Chase Claypool.
We're really going out on a limb here on today's show saying Trubisky is terrible. Debro, give me your first receiver.
So we're going to go from a quarterback that can't throw deep to one that I believe can throw deep extremely well. We saw it last year, and I think that the skill set of this rookie wide receiver is going to fit perfectly with him. And that's Chris Olave. And I'm above consensus on, well, I'm in ways above consensus on Olave. It might not look like it from the wide receiver ranks, but if you look at overall, I'm right in line. I'm willing to even bump him up a little bit because this marriage with Jameis Winston, I think, is going to be fantastic. Yes, I understand Michael Thomas is looking healthy. He's going to be back. We don't marry Michael Thomas with deep balls and getting downfield and things. Not saying that he can't do it, but I think Olave is going to have the field stretcher role. And you look at Jameis Winston last year. All quarterbacks, he was fifth in ADOT, second in big-time throw rate, and Olave at Ohio State, I mean, 40% of his receiving yards in college and 60% of his receiving touchdowns came on targets 20-plus yards down the field. Now, we know that he can get open, and if he's going to be the field stretcher in this offense, which I think the Saints are going to throw more than they did last year, because last year's offense, it was, we have no receivers, we got Alvin Kamara, and we're going to play slow, we're going to run the ball, and we're going to keep it away from you. I don't think that's what we're going to see out of the Saints this year. I think they've been adding competent pass catchers all through the offseason. Now with Michael Thomas, I think they're going to let Jameis chuck it down the field, and I think the Saints are going to throw more. And I love Olave where he's going in drafts, and I love his upside.
Erickson, I know you weren't the highest on Olave back in rookie drafts. Are you buying what Debro's selling?
I guess for me, it's more of a, how am I going to know when to start Olave? Just because I don't see him being the target leader in the Saints offense, whether if Michael Thomas is healthy, like Jarvis Landry showed that he can still command targets at a high rate. So if Olave is third in the target, what about Kamara? Like, is he third or fourth? Like, yeah, I get that he's going to have these big weeks, but there's a lot of receivers that kind of fall into that bucket. So that's kind of, for me, I'm just like, I could probably find someone that's in a more pass happy offense, just even more aggressively than the New Orleans Saints will be. So I was starting to like raise Olave a little more, like when I thought Michael Thomas may not be healthy. But now that if Thomas now is healthy, it's like, okay, well, I kind of tempered my expectation. I just don't know how much of a difference maker he's going to be in year one from a fantasy perspective. Whereas I think in like a real life perspective, I think it's a great fit. And I love him for Jameis Winston's fantasy potential.
Erickson, who's your next receiver?
My next wide receiver, Kadarius Toney, wide receiver 48, 118th overall. My rank is wide receiver 43, 108th overall. And I'm pretty sure I just need to actually keep moving him up, honestly. Like he's probably still too low in my own rankings because I think that he's just so obviously the breakout wide receiver outside the top 40 that you just want to get. Like he's, everyone can draft him. He's basically, you know, quote unquote free, or at least he was free. I mean, I've started to see him go much, much earlier because people are starting to finally catch on. It's like, this guy could be a top 15 wide receiver. And I don't see other guys in that range that even come close to that being in the range of outcomes where, I mean, Kenny Golladay, like we're still, I mean, I'm done with Kenny Golladay at this point. Like I was optimistic, like kind of going in and then, you know, some reports about like, he's still struggling to like build a connection with Daniel Jones. And it's like, okay, like this just needs to end. Like we need to move on from Golladay. It was a horrible signing. But Tony, I mean, he can lead this team in targets. And how many guys outside the top 40 flashed what he did as a first round pick in their rookie seasons and then could lead their team in targets the following year? I mean, like what's the difference between him and a lot of these other rookies that are going in front of him? Not much, except he's actually played in the NFL and we've actually seen him deliver fantasy goodness. So for me, Kadarius Toney, he's somewhat, okay, looking at some of his numbers. So 2.14 yards per route run was 11th, 25% target rate per route run, 7th best in the NFL last year. It's just like he just checks off so many boxes and you just got to get him because he has so much upside in this offense. Even though the offense, or I shouldn't say in this offense, but from an opportunity standpoint, like he can be the featured piece as the receiver in this specific Giants offense, which may be underwhelming, but it has to be at least better than it was last year.
Debro, we've got a lot more names to get to, so I'm going to limit you to 20 seconds here, but I know that you agree strongly on Tony, so go ahead and give me your 20 seconds on Tony.
Erickson, just join me in the wide receiver three ranks with Kadarius Toney. That's all I'm going to ask, man. Just bump him into the wide receiver three range, and we could both dance together and hold hands. I love his upside. Talent flash last year. I put him as the easy favorite to lead this team in targets, and the upside is massive. Even though he's ascending, I'm still buying it all the way up, dude. I'm still going to gobble him up in drafts. I don't care.
All right, Debro, give me your next receiver. Another guy that I know you love.
So these next two receivers I'm going to bring up, I'm just warning people, we're going to go a little bit deeper, okay? I have no clue why in the absolute heck Jalen Tolbert is ECR wide receiver 69. I get that's a nice number, but people need to come up on him. I have him at wide receiver 51. I could even make a case to bump him higher. I mean, legitimately, we have a wide receiver that's being airdropped into a top five passing rate, pace, scoring offense with a really good quarterback. And oh, James Washington is out now. So why do people not like Tolbert? Oh, it's a small school. Oh, it's the fact that he wasn't early declare. What you want to see out of these guys that come out of small schools is the fact that they are dominant. They are ballers. And that's what Jalen Tolbert put up on film, man. Like, he was 7th and 6th amongst all FBS wide receivers of the last two seasons in receiving yards, 32nd and 12th in yards per route run. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Michael Gallup, but I was so surprised when I went through the Dallas Cowboys and my team stat series and what Michael Gallup's done in his NFL career. Now we know that, like, okay, maybe he's not back until way late in the season, but if you look at his efficiency metrics, tell me if this is a wide receiver that Jalen Tolbert can hop on the depth chart. Michael Gallup's yard per route run ranks over the last four seasons, 64th. So last year he was immediately behind Laviska Shenault and Zay Jones. If those are glittering names, then I can't help you. 69th, 10th, which was his breakout season, and 59th in his rookie year. So as much as I like Michael Gallup as a DFS play in previous seasons, he has not been efficient at the NFL level, and now he's coming off a major injury. Jalen Tolbert has been airdropped in this offense, and he's flashing in camp. People, please, please do me a favor. Bump him up in ranks and gobble him up every single place you can in drafts, in your home leagues, and in best ball and stuff, because people are sleeping, and they need to wake up.
I just got snaked on Jalen Tolbert in a best ball draft the other day, so I'm with you, D-Bro. Take him sooner than you think you need to. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 every day because, frankly, I usually don't have the time to think about the health of my immune system. I'm a pretty picky eater, but the best part about AG1 is that it doesn't taste like most healthy foods do, aka not very good. It has a tropical flavor that I actually look forward to every morning. With just a single scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and more to start your day on the right foot. When you work in media, you need to have energy at all times, and AG1 gives me that as soon as I wake up. Athletic Greens is lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, they've got over 7,000 five-star reviews, and it only costs you less than $3 per day to invest in your health. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/fantasypros. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/fantasypros to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Erickson, who's your last receiver?
I'm going to go with Tyler Boyd. Right now, he's wide receiver 51, 125th overall. I have him wide receiver 48, 122nd overall. And it's just the intrinsic upside with Tyler Boyd. You know, you look at him last year, he was a top 36 wide receiver as many times as T. Higgins was. So, like, he finished as a top 36 receiver at the same rate as one of his teammates. And looking at weeks 10 through 17, he was wide receiver 21 when the Bengals started to up tempo and throw the ball a little bit more in the passing attack. Now, I expect that the Bengals are not going to run the ball nearly as much as they did last year, kind of protecting Joe Burrow, because why would you do that? Like, you have this friggin' amazing quarterback. You have all these weapons all over the place. Like, let's die. I mean, the Bengals have top 5 passing rate. Oh my God. Like, wheels up. And that's going to benefit Tyler Boyd. Like, people are just kind of like, oh, whatever. It's all about Higgins and Chase. And yes, like, those are the two main guys, but we've seen this before with these pass heavy offenses. Tampa Bay, they can support more than 2 weapons, like oftentimes 3 or even 4. And the best part is that we know Tyler Boyd is good. Like, he's not some like fringy, like, oh, like, are we sure? Like, he's going to get the opportunity. Like, but is he good? It's like, dude, we know Tyler Boyd is good. Like, he's an established veteran wide receiver in the slot. Like, we know exactly what his role is going to be. So I think him at, I mean, wide receiver 51 ADP, he was wide receiver 21 over the second half of last year. So Boyd, I think he's going to have more standalone value than he's given credit for. And then if an injury happens to Chase or Higgins, it's like the dude's going to be a top 20 ranked receiver every single week. So I'll go with Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the injury idea. So we don't need to see an injury to Chase or Higgins in order to see Boyd contribute. We know that because we've seen it before. Like you said, we've seen high-powered offenses support at least 3 weapons. But do you think we need to see an injury to see him tap into the upside of, oh, this is actually a guy who is winning you weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's hard for all 3 of those guys to provide league winning, you know, upside every single week. I just think that Higgins and Chase are so good in terms of kind of, not to say that Boyd is a bad player, but I just think those guys are on another level. So where Boyd is kind of giving you some steady production throughout the weeks, more so than he was last year, he's going to have occasional games where he just pops based on, okay, is there a certain matchup that favors the slot? And if there's an injury, okay, boom, now you're cooking with the gas. I just think that he's just drafted at his concrete floor right now, and everything else is just gravy.
D-Bro, give me your last receiver.
All right, we're going to go deep down the ranks, and I understand people, if they need to hold their nose or, you know, you want to skip over this part of the podcast, I get it, but please hear me out. Just
yeah, please don't skip this part of the podcast. I don't know why he said that.
Don't skip the podcast.
I know that people do not like this player. I get it. But they need to throw him a little bit of love, because here's the thing. If the Colts pass more than what people are projecting, and I think they are, one of these late wide receivers is going to hit, and I think it's going to be Paris Campbell. ECR is burying him. He's wide receiver 77. I've got him at wide receiver 64, so I'm not over the moon. I'm not telling you, okay, he's going to be a top 36 wide receiver right now. But the upside, and I think the talent is still there. We need to understand that, yes, he's been injured, and I get all of that. He was immensely talented as a prospect coming out. His final 2 years at Ohio State, and I understand it's been a while. It's been a while. But I want to bring this up so people understand the type of talent level that we're cooking here with. He was 6th and 10th in yards per route run over his final 2 seasons at Ohio State. 6th and 1st in yak per reception. Now, when we have seen him, the largest sample, and I get it's really, really tiny, 2018, he was getting targets whenever he was on the field. He had a top 30 target per route run rate. And now we're hearing words that, okay, he's probably going to go back in the slot this year, which is where I think he needs to be. So if the Colts are going to throw more, I really think one of these guys is going to be a value late, and I'm going to push my chips into Paris Campbell and not Alec Pierce if I got to pick between the two.
I was going to ask between the two. So you're going Campbell. Erickson, are you also taking Campbell over Pierce?
100%. You know, Alec Pierce is a downfield threat with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is not a downfield savant anymore. So I think that it makes way more sense to go with Paris Campbell, who Debo hit on. Like, the guy's talented. And yeah, the issue is he has not been able to stay healthy. Like, but when you're playing in your fantasy leagues and Paris Campbell is not injured and you have him on your roster, you're literally going to be able to start him because he is good. It's just, okay, if he gets hurt, well, then you move on. But when he's healthy, kind of like in a similar ilk to like Devontae Parker, it's like, mm-hmm. That's why these guys are lighting up training camp, because they are good at football and they're not hurt yet. So will we play all 16 games? Oof, probably not.
Don't say yet. Don't say yet.
Okay, oof. Come on. Let's be realistic here.
I know.
All right. Well, for everybody who skipped through that section, welcome back to the show.
Let's go.
Let's go quickly through the quarterbacks and tight ends. Just one each for both of you.
I'm never
going
to be able to live that down.
Erickson, I will start with you on the quarterback.
It's so obvious. It's Daniel Jones. So obvious. QB 28, 231st overall. I have him as QB 20, 147th overall, sneaking into my top 150. Look at him last year before his week 5 concussion. QB 8 overall in points per game. 3rd in rushing yards per game, 47. 2nd in PFF passing grade. You got the upgrades on the offensive line. You got better coaching. And, I mean, we've seen the upside from Daniel Jones every single year. He's a running quarterback that throws the ball downfield. It's just, can it all kind of come together like ever? Like, that's just the big question. And the support the last two seasons has just been atrocious. You know, PFF's 3rd worst offensive ranked line last year, I'd argue, was probably the worst. And it's been like that for a while, basically since Daniel Jones got to New York. So, I mean, if the supporting cast is just average, Daniel Jones continues to run. Again, he's an expiring contract. They have all the reason to just let him just go out there and do what he needs to do. I mean, Daniel Jones is going to score fantasy points, and he's someone you can get with your last round pick as a late round quarterback. And I just don't think there's a lot of guys with his archetype at quarterback that you can find so late. And he's exactly what you want.
Debra, who's your quarterback?
Let me see here. I'm trying to avoid the turf monster like Daniel Jones here. So since we're talking about rushing ability and things of that nature, I think Justin Fields, one, can avoid the turf monster, and two, can be a fantastic value. The Chicago Bears hate has gone too far. I get it. All the jokes and all that kind of stuff is funny. Velus Jones, all that kind of things about NFL draft and when they didn't give Justin Fields any kind of talented players. People don't really understand that I think this entire Bears offense is going to be extremely different and more favorable for Justin Fields. And Justin Fields showed flashes of being really, really good down the stretch last year. You have Luke Getsy coming over from the Packers. I mean, basically everything that Nagy dialed up for Justin Fields last year was difficult, more difficult, and even more difficult. He was 39th out of 44 quarterbacks in screen rate, which is terrible. You're not getting any kind of layup completions for your quarterback. Getsy is going to change that. Aaron Rodgers has been 3rd and 4th in screen rate over the past 2 seasons. And down the stretch, so final full starts, after week 7 for Justin Fields, he was the 11th highest graded passer per PFF. He was 7th in big time throw rate and 8th in yards per attempt. And oh my lord, over his final 4 full starts, QB 5, QB 10, QB 10, and QB 10. So yes, I'm above consensus. I have him at QB 14, 107th overall. I think that the upside is there. And lo and behold, the Bears have upgraded their offensive line. So everybody keeps talking about how bad they are. They just signed players off the street who are going to improve this offensive line. And I'm still going to talk about Braxton Jones, who I think people do not understand how good this guy is going to be. And he's already taking snaps at left tackle for the Bears right now. So yeah, I'm not out on Justin Fields, not even remotely.
Really quickly here, D-Bro, you have him in the high-end QB2 range, like you said, QB14. How comfortable would you be if you went really hard on other positions early if he was your QB1?
I'm fine with it. Like, I feel like I'm being more median here by not ranking him as a top 12 quarterback, but I think it's absolutely in his range of outcomes, and I'm fine with doing that in redraft. I'm fine just punting quarterback down the road, and I'll take Fields. I've done it in our mock drafts previously. I'll take Fields with no problems at all.
Erickson, give me your tight end.
My tight end, so tied for the third highest target rate per route run in the NFL last year behind Darren Waller, or with Darren Waller and George Kittle, 23%. Albert Okwuegbunam, tight end 14, 143rd overall. I have him as tight end 13, 129th overall, so just a little bit higher than the consensus. And I just think that when you look at a player like him, uber athletic, last 8 weeks of the year, number 2 in yards per route run, targeted under 28% of his routes run, I just think that his ADP doesn't capture his upside if he ends up carving out the tight end one role in the Broncos. Now, I know Greg Dulcich has gotten a lot of steam as a rookie tight end, and it's, again, rookie tight end. Like, we just don't see rookie tight ends like take on these massive roles. So I just think that people are over-projecting how much Greg Dulcich is going to play. And there's going to be two tight ends playing in this offense anyway. When you look at Nathaniel Hackett, basically what he did with the Green Bay Packers, they were second in 12 personnel in 2021. So there's going to be two tight ends on the field anyway. And just based on what they've done, you know, what Albert O has done at the NFL level, he's shown that he can command targets in an offense while playing alongside Noah Fant, who is already he's a real life top 10 tight end, in my opinion. And Greg Dulcich is not. Like, he's a third round rookie pick who, sure, he's talented, but unproven, unestablished. So the fact that Albert O could carve out a role with Noah Fant, who was the tight end 12 last year when they both played 14 games together, I think that Albert O can be a top, you know, be in the back end of 10 to 12 and then really take off if, you know, his athleticism and really kind of takes him to the next level. And I really think that he benefits from the Tim Patrick injury, because now everyone kind of has to step up in the pecking order. And it's really one less red zone guy. Like, Tim Patrick is a big body receiver. And, you know, the reason he outproduced Sutton and Jerry Jeudy these past 2 years is because of touchdowns. So you're taking that out of the equation. Now someone else has to step up. Now, Courtland Sutton's obviously going to score the most touchdowns, obviously. But after that, there are questions. I mean, Jerry Jeudy has been a ghost in the red zone for his 2 years in the NFL. Albert O, he's big, fast, athletic tight end. Sounds like a red zone monster to me. So I'm going to go with Albert Okwuegbunam.
D-Bro, you once again went really deep on your choice here. Who's your tight end?
Okay, I'm going to go with the player that I think has a really good chance to be this year's Dawson Knox. Not really efficient, really, really good offense. Erickson already brought up this offense, and Lord help, if they go top 5, top 10 in passing rate, his wheels up, baby. And that leads me to Hayden Hurst, and I get that people don't like him, and that's fine. He's free in drafts. And I'm even above consensus. Like, I have him at tight end 18 and in the 140s right now overall. And Hayden Hurst is one of those targets late in your drafts that I think, like, there's a handful of late tight ends. But the things that he checks all the boxes, guys, like, he's athletic. We know that, period. He's in a really, really good offense that is actually in for some regression as far as red zone and things of that nature. The Cincinnati Bengals struggled in the red zone last year. They were only 17th in red zone scoring attempts per game, 23rd in red zone conversion rate for touchdowns. And I think this is all saying that Hayden Hurst, if there is regression in touchdowns, he can be a big part of that. For a player that you have T. Higgins, you have Ja'Marr Chase that can beat man coverage on the outside. They can do that, okay? But you have these underneath weapons, and no, I don't, I'm not, that's not Joe Mixon, that can beat zone coverage. Tyler Boyd is that player. Erickson talked about him. Hayden Hurst can be that player as well for a tight end that's literally gobbled up like over 70% of his volume in each of the last 2 seasons against zone. I mean, Hayden Hurst checks all the boxes. So yeah, buy into touchdowns, red zone, athleticism, and just a really good offense for the overwhelming price of free.
Yeah, I was going to say, Debra, you know that the prompt was guys going after ADP 100, not 200, right? You didn't need to go this deep on some of your picks.
I mean, look, people got the full range of outcomes here, okay? So Erickson hit a lot of the guys in the middle rounds, later rounds, and I'm giving you the dumpster dive guys, which can still be really good in fantasy.
It's hard to believe Hayden Hurst is turning 29 later this month. Of course, he was a lot older when he was drafted by the Ravens in 2018.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Guys, let's open up the mailbag here to end the show. We're going to hit on more of these as draft season rolls on, but if the listeners want even more access to our analysts, like we mentioned earlier in the show, please be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts there through AMAs, stages, and more. Let's start with @RockyGoddessPet asks, what's your strategy for an 18-team league? I have pick 15. Should I go running back, wide receiver, running back, or something else? You guys don't need to get into specifically pick 15, but just in general, in these deep, super deep leagues, how are you starting your drafts, Erickson?
I think I wouldn't change too much in terms of going running back, wide receiver. I think probably still want to focus on getting a decent running back earlier on, because at this point, you're not going to get any elite wide receivers. Like, you need to get... I like leaving my first on the first two rounds. I like having at least one running back that I feel really good about. So like a super or a hero RB approach, anchor RB, whatever you want to call it. So you should be able to get one at pick 15. There's no guarantee you get an elite wide receiver at pick 15. So I'd probably end up going running back and then valuing the onesie positions a little bit more. So even like thinking about tight end, because if you have one of the four or five elite tight ends and 18 teams are then fighting on the waiver wire for like all these other tight ends, you're going to win that position every single week, because no one else has a tight end. Now you could flip the other way and be like, well, no one has a tight end, I don't really care. But I think it's better to have that advantage. So I think it would be a little bit more aggressive on the onesie positions, because you're going to have so much better of an advantage on a week-to-week basis.
Debra, quickly from you as well, what positions are you looking at in a deep league early?
I don't disagree with the tight end talk. For me, it comes down to running backs. I think that you're looking at, I mean, through... top two rounds, three rounds after that, the running back position is probably going to be just total dust, outside of taking shots on upside guys late. So in that type of format, deeper leagues, if it's two quarterbacks and it's deep league, then I'm going to sit here and prioritize quarterbacks because of scarcity. Same thing with running backs. I'm more likely to go running back there, and then just aggressively take upside shots on wide receivers.
Let's get another question in here. @MrLeroyCharles asks, am I crazy for wanting to keep Pittman as a 10th round keeper instead of Cooper Kupp in the fourth? And again, I don't want to focus necessarily on the specifics, although you can answer his question, but I'm sort of curious from a general strategy standpoint, do you guys prefer keeping somebody who is good and has clear upside late, or is an absolute stud, but you're having to use a fourth round pick on that player? Debra?
I mean, I think it all depends on what players we're talking about. In this instance, I would happily keep Kyle Pitts over Cooper Kupp. And I get Kupp as...
Pittman,
as
Michael Pittman.
Pittman. Excuse me. Same. Let's go with Pittman. Yeah. Still. Still. It doesn't matter. Like, that type of value that late. And there's a range of outcomes where Pittman could be, and I'm not going to say Cooper Kupp level this year, but I mean, look, we have him ranked aggressively. We're in on Pittman. And looking at that type of value, and you're looking at a keeper league... I mean, it's very similar to Dynasty. So you're looking at next year. We're talking about concerns for Matthew Stafford this year for Kupp. I'm more likely to go with a player that I can keep, especially because every keeper league is a little bit different. But if I can keep this player for next 2 to 3 seasons in their prime, like a player like Pittman, yeah, I'm going to lean that way.
Erickson, how about you?
Yeah, I think that especially if it is a keeper league, like, over multiple years, and you could be riding Pittman not just this year but into like the next year, like kind of looking forward, I think that does make a lot of sense to lean towards the Pittman side. I do think it's important though to always try to remember, like, yes, you want to get, you know, the best value, which I think is probably Pittman, but I think it's still pretty close between, I mean, Cooper Kupp is a first round pick and you get him in the fourth round. Like, that's still hard to beat. So if it was just for this season specifically, I think I actually probably would lean towards Cooper Kupp, you know, assuming that we get some more positive reports about Matthew Stafford, I think I'd still would probably go with Kupp in the fourth, because he's the best player. He's the better player this year. I have Cooper Kupp ranked ahead of Michael Pittman. I think he's going to outscore Michael Pittman, and you're still getting him in the fourth round, and you're getting the better player ultimately, and making your roster stronger. So I would go with Kupp.
Let's wrap it up there, fellas. I didn't even bother coming up with a pop culture question today because I knew we had so much great stuff to fill today's show. Please, everyone listening, don't forget all the awesome opportunities we mentioned today at SeatGeek and Drafters and Athletic Greens. Thank you guys both for another awesome episode. But most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Erickson and D-Bro, I'm Ryan Warmly. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.